Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, what a wild week in media. I'm serious. I mean, Rush Limbaugh's gone. And what do they call it now? Fake news. I don't know, media. It's very confusing to a lot of people. So let's talk about it. My guest today is Brian Kaye. He is the CEO and publisher of LA Weekly, The Village Voice, Irvine Weekly, and the Bay Area Marina Times. He's also a professor at the Chapman University School of Communication. Let's hope he's got some brilliance for us. How you doing, Brian?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you know, am I right? I mean, look, I mean, this is the week after Rush Limbaugh, the guy, he was on the air for 30 years, and he grew and grew and grew. And for 30 years, the thing the guy did was amazing. But all of a sudden, you know, everybody's looking at media differently, right? Because, you know, for so many years, we were hearing fake news. And then you have news wars and then magazines. All of a sudden, magazines are starting to disappear from the newsstands. But then here's this new media stuff coming up. Here's the, you know, social media. And then social media companies are starting to attack each other. It's like, my God, what's going on? You know?
It's really an interesting business to be in. I mean, I think the social media and tech battles will continue on. But I mean, some of the biggest news, adding to your point, is that Alden Capital, which used to own the OC Register, where I cut my teeth in journalism and was an executive for many years, they bought the entire remainder, because they already own some of the Tribune Company, which owns the Chicago Tribune,
right,
the New York Daily News, a bunch of others. But then literally while your intro music was going off for the radio show, one of my former employees and dear friend sent me a breaking news alert from the Wall Street Journal about how Patrick Soon-Shiong, the owner of the LA Times, is considering selling the LA Times. I don't know if that's true or
again.
Or not. I'm going to dig into it. Well, it's crazy. And right? That's obviously very relevant to me, because I'd say that the two most well-known media companies in Los Angeles are the LA Times and LA Weekly. LA Times is much bigger than us, in full disclosure. But in terms of being known, the reputation and the iconic brand, certainly us too. And so it's very interesting to watch that. Yeah, very, very interesting to watch that.
It is. I've worked for a number of media companies that got bought by other media companies. And then there's this massive mix up of employees and publishers. And, you know, it's like, ay, ay, ay. But it's very seismic right now. It's like volcanic action going on. I mean, lava's flying into the air. People are losing their careers and jobs. And
yeah, it's sad. Wow. Well, I think part of it is because a lot of people who've been at the helm of media companies have been irresponsible in how they've tried to manage the decline. And also, they've had this kind of old school mentality about monetization. And they think that somehow, someday, print ads and digital ads and digital subscriptions are going to save the day. But they have to completely rethink how the organizations operate and how the organizations monetize. And it has to be leveraging the brand and the content and the other stuff that they do to create new revenue strategies and streams to make them sustainable. Because this idea that you're going to refresh and save the industry with the revenue models of the past is completely just, I mean, frankly, sad that people still think that. And, you know, obviously I don't think that way. And that's why we're in a situation where we have, you know, we're in a good place, we're growing, it's really hard. And it's a challenge every year to be sustainable. Right. But we're also, you know, actively looking at other acquisitions and other markets. And I don't think a lot of other publishers or publications are doing that, especially when you consider, just because you brought up the kind of tumult, last year in 2020, over 200, and I think it was 270, but I know it was for sure over 200, newspapers shut their doors permanently. Yeah. So, I mean, right, that's where the landscape is, because, you know, it's a tough industry. And, you know, with little help from Facebook and Google and Yelp and Craigslist and all these companies that kind of took pieces of the industry away when the technological revolution kind of started, you know, these businesses never knew where to go next, right, how to innovate, right, how to create new revenue streams.
All right. Hold
and
tight.
So COVID was the death knell.
Well, and the funny thing is, he said to me was last year, 2020, You get a mulligan. It just didn't even happen, right? So you're not whatever age you are. Take 1 year off your life, 1 year off your age. You get a whole takeover, do-over. Don't go anywhere. Talking to Brian Kaye. He is LA Weekly, and he's the CEO and publisher of all these, you know, Village Voice, Irvine Weekly, and it's awesome what you do. But I want to talk about media. And is print really dead? We'll be right back. Entrepreneur Weekly, all across America and around the world because of the interwebs. Yes, nationally syndicated. And also, you know, check out our website, entrepreneur.com. There's lots of podcasts there and videos and stories. And then, of course, pick up our magazine on newsstands everywhere because it is one of the ones that is still alive. There are many of them that are going away. Brian Kaye here. He is CEO and publisher of LA Weekly, The Village Voice, Irvine Weekly, The Bay Area, Marina Times, and a lot of other stuff that he's got under his belt. But, you know, let's talk about it. You know, Entrepreneur is a magazine. Of course, we are the magazine that is going to out survive many, many other types of magazines because this is kind of like the playbook. You know what I mean? So, but what do you think about magazines? I mean, we're living in a digital age. A lot of people saying magazines are dead. What say you, Brian?
I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, I think that the way in which they're run and the way in which they're perceived need to be greatly different. You know, it's no secret that publications for the last decade, if not longer, have been shrinking circulation, going out of business, changing how big the print editions are. But I don't think so at all. I mean, we've seen a great deal of success in hyperlocal markets. So, for example, in Irvine, where we have Irvine Weekly, and actually one of the, I think Entrepreneur Magazine actually has an office in Irvine as well. Yeah. And we've seen a great deal of success because all of the other publications that used to actively cover Irvine really haven't. So we're becoming one of the only formidable sources of information if you're an Irvine resident, right? So in terms of hyper-local print, I think that there's still a market for it. Also, when you have larger brands like LA Weekly or The Village Voice, those iconic brands still have a really rich history in print. And there's still a lot of people who are interested in picking those up and reading them. And it's interesting because, like, with our LA Weekly circulation, every week, virtually all the papers are picked up. And, you know, that's something that we're really blessed by. It's a free publication, obviously. Yeah. And I'll tell you, when we announced in December that The Village Voice was going to come back as a quarterly publication, with my intention of eventually making it a monthly publication, that people started emailing us and just through the website messaging us and saying, hey, I want to subscribe. How can I support it? I want to subscribe. So there's still an audience for it. I think that for a publication to survive in the print landscape, they have to kind of really think deeply about what the right frequency for their publication is,
right,
what the right number of print copies is, and then kind of just rethink how they go about distributing those. And the biggest thing, like I said, is the frequency of them.
Sure.
Because you can hit a really nice cadence. I mean, someone said to me once, they're like, well, you know, if you have weekly in the title, like Irvine Weekly, but you only distribute every other week, you know, should you call it Irvine Bi-Weekly? And I was like, no, I don't think so. Because we're up on the website weekly every week. So it's just a mind frame of how you think about it.
Well, and it's old school versus kind of new school because, you know, that's just the way it is. Things are evolving. I remember, gosh, I don't know what it's been, 30 years ago, when I was doing a radio show and I went to a magazine and I said, why don't you have a magazine radio show? And they're like, well, because we don't have radio guys. I go, well, I'm a radio guy. And so that's how I started my radio career in a much bigger way, was I put a magazine radio name to it. I mean, a magazine name to the radio show, like this one, Entrepreneur Weekly, like you have LA Weekly. People know what it is right out of the gate. And if they're entrepreneurs, they know what they're going to get. They're going to find out, you know, how to become successful by the people talking on that show, or they're going to learn something in the magazine or the website. But I think having more touch points for people is really important too, because of course we're going to take another break here in a minute, but you know, in a time when you know, you have a fake news era and people have lost trust in so many of these media outlets. How do you get that trust back? I think being very authentic, having radio and video and live streaming, whatever it is, on social media. And it's got to be more than just one thing like it used to be, a magazine, right?
And no, 100%. You've got to be present everywhere.
Yep.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, for us, it's a mix of print and digital social media programming. We have 4 podcasts now.
Right.
We do a lot in the influencer space. We do live events. We have a whole wing of the operation that creates custom content for brands. We have a whole digital marketing agency under the company. So the way we've figured out a pathway forward is that the brands help us to recruit and service the needs of other clients. And we in turn use that revenue to sustain the core business, which is the journalism.
All right, hang tight. We're going to come back talking about journalism. What is it going to look like in tomorrow's world? We'll be right back with more. Ryan Kaye, be right back.
Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we are living in a fake news era. It's just the way it is right now. And how are we going to get that trust back as media? So I'm talking with Brian Kaye. He's... Boy, this guy's got a lot under his belt. He's a publisher. He's CEO and publisher of LA Weekly, Village Voice, Irvine Weekly, and the Bay Area Marina Times, and also a professor at the Chapman University School of Communication. Brian, thanks for being with us, spending time with us. I know you're a busy, busy, busy guy.
No, happy to be here. When you came back into the show, I thought you were going to say, we are living in a material world, and I'm a material girl. So I was going to finish the sentence for you, but...
okay, so let's talk about tomorrow's journalists, because I mean, we're having to train them right now, and they're looking at the, you know, the fake news world, and they're like, okay, what do we do now? I mean, listen, journalism is fun, it's wonderful, it's exciting, it's brilliant in so many ways. I fell into it by accident, and I got to tell you, I've been 30 years in this business, and I love it. But I have the ability to kind of roll my own way because I am an entrepreneur. But not everybody has that freedom. And you're a publisher, dude. I get it. Your job is to find these newfangled journalists of tomorrow today. So what are you doing?
You know, that's a great question. And obviously, part of the reason I teach at Chapman is because I'm really concerned kind of about the future of journalism. And it's interesting because, like, all the things you said about journalism are true. It's fun and wonderful and important, but it's also, like, essential to democracy, right? The free flow of information is crucial, and accurate, fair, neutral information is critical. And I think that we've gotten into an age that fake news is so pervasive that so many people just like throw up their hands. Like, I don't know what to believe anymore.
Right.
Because you could watch a segment on Fox News and then flip the channel to CNN and then flip the channel to MSNBC. And the three of them are all reporting on the same story, but the facts, the perspective, the spin, if you will, is completely different.
Yep.
And I think that's a real problem. And, you know, I preach to both my students, but anyone who will listen these days, about narrative-free news, because I think that it's really important to keep bias and political perspective out of journalism. And unfortunately, because of so many of the cuts and how the industry has been decimated on the financial side, a lot of the safeguards that had been in place historically just aren't there anymore. And I think that has led to a lot of the problems. And you couple that with the fact that you're trying to compete with all of these other websites for eyeballs, and you're trying to get a story out fast, and you're just using a quick source, usually a good source, hopefully, but a quick source. And sometimes what doesn't happen, and I would say even oftentimes today in some stories, that a source will say something that will make it in the story that's very, you know, let's call it clickbaity or right. sensational or sexy because they know it's gonna make news or make the headline. But oftentimes the reporters don't independently verify whatever that claim is, right? And you see this most frequently in lawsuits where like some celebrity or newsmaker is in a lawsuit and the news organization reporting on it just quotes the lawsuit as if it's fact. But right. as you're an entrepreneur and I'm an entrepreneur and I've been through enough legal battles to know, anything you say about someone in a court filing or legal document is protected, meaning I can't be sued for libel or slander, right? Because it's in the filing itself.
Right.
And so just because someone says that you're an XYZ in a particular court document doesn't necessarily mean it's true, but it makes for a great headline, right?
Right.
And you can cite the court document. So I think we've gotten to this place where we've got to figure out how we get to a situation where the standards for newsmaking and journalism are much higher, because right now the faith in journalism, the faith in news organizations is at an all-time low. And I think that's why we've seen so many kind of crazy conspiracy theories gain light in this country, because the mainstream population of America can't trust or feels like it can't trust mainstream media today.
I got to tell you, man, it is a strange place. I feel like, do you know what a doldrum is? Have you ever been sailing? A doldrum
is... I've never been sailing.
If you're out in the ocean and you've got a sailboat and all of a sudden there's no wind, you're in a doldrum. And it feels to me like in a world of entrepreneurs trying to do their marketing and trying to do their business, that right now the media landscape is like a doldrum. They don't know where to spend their money. They don't know how to market because the system is broken. And that's what I actually would like to talk to you about in this next segment we're going to do, is in a broken society right now, because we're also divided, and there's so much weird stuff going on. We said the fake news era and all these things, man. Brand new president, he's doing all these things, and everybody's kind of just like looking at each other. And if you're not wearing your mask, it's like, am I gonna get punched by that guy, or should I punch that guy? If you know what I'm saying, it's like we're all on guard, and then we got to do business, right? So let's talk about this, how media and marketing has its problems right now, its issues. And what are you, suggesting to people when you're out there talking about, whether it's LA Weekly or The Village Voice or Irvine Weekly or Bay Area Marina Times? So when we come back, answer that for me. Brian Kaye, again, the CEO and publisher of all those magazines and those brands. My God, it's a strange time in history. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, shit, fire in a soul. It was easy to
see how the devil himself. Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So my guest, he is a professor at the Chapman University School of Communication. That's one thing he does. He's also the CEO and publisher of LA Weekly, The Village Voice, Irvine Weekly, and the Bay Area Marina Times. And I'm sure there's other things he does, because he's probably got another side hustle he's not really telling me about him. Sure, there's more, because it's like, that's not enough already. I've heard of all of them. I have not heard of the Bay Area Marina Times. Do me a favor, before we get into this, what the hell are entrepreneurs supposed to do with their marketing dollars, tell us about the brands that you represent real quick, each one of them. I know LA Weekly and Village Voice.
But. Yeah, for sure. Since you mentioned the Marina Times, Marina Times is a newspaper up in San Francisco in the Marina area, which is I think the Bay Area is beautiful in general, but the Marina is particularly beautiful. It's a small community newspaper that really focuses on the local issues. And also it breaks a lot of investigative stories, and it beats the larger news outlets to the punch on those, which is one of the things I really liked about it. In unapologetic fashion, which I think is good. LA Weekly, obviously iconic brand, which has been on the pulse of culture in LA for over 40 years now. And we acquired it 4 years ago. And I've, it's been, the OC Register, when I started my career in journalism, was kind of a defining moment for me. But the LA Weekly experience has been both just a crazy ride, but also so rewarding in so many different ways because it matters so much to the city and to the entertainment industry and music and arts and culture and also news. And so we focused on mostly LA, but we also do a lot in the international and national entertainment and music scene as well. Mm-hmm. And then Irvine Weekly is a community newspaper that serves the city of Irvine, which is the third largest city in Orange County, but I would argue is the economic hub of Orange County. Oh, yeah. It has Blizzard, which is, you know, one of the largest gaming companies in the world based there.
Entrepreneur Magazine, you know.
Entrepreneur, exactly right. So amazing, wonderful city. And then finally, the Village Voice, which is one of the most iconic names in news and journalism in the history of this country, with Pulitzer Prizes. LA Weekly also has won Pulitzer Prizes and is just super incredible and had been closed in 2018. Like a lot of newspapers have been closed over recent years. And now we get to kind of bring it back and figure out what the way forward for the Village Voice is. Mm-hmm. And what I would argue is the most important time for the Village Voice, because as America reopens and we move into the quote unquote roaring 20s, you need a voice for America's largest village. And that's what we will be.
Roaring 20s. Ooh, that's a good one now. Here it is all over just another century later. But yeah, no, it's great. And look, congratulations. By the way, you guys can find out more about Brian Calle, but it's spelled C-A-L-L-E. So Brian Calle.com on the web. Just wanted to give that out to you. All right, let's talk about media marketing and its influence on culture, and also what should entrepreneurs do in this doldrum, now that you know that word, this kind of place where there's no wind blowing right now, you know what I mean, other than hot air.
And there's a lot of hot air, let me tell you. Also, I always like veracity in journalism, and I have been on a sailboat. I've never gone sailing, but I have been on a sailboat. Okay, and we kind of like floated around. I guess we sailed, but it was like not very far from shore, but I forgot about that some years ago. So I didn't know that word, so I learned a new word. But I think for entrepreneurs, I think there's a really important mix that they have to hit when they're trying to make sure that they're getting awareness about their products or services or whatever they're trying to build. I think that a lot of people want just like straight stories and media attention, and that's great, and it will get you so far. And obviously, we do that. But other ways that we're seeing a lot of success for people in the business space in particular is using content marketing across multiple platforms. So taking content that they create or we create for them, whether it's video or audio or written word, and then repurposing and reusing that content on social media as sponsored posts on a variety of websites, you know, basically their own branded podcasts, and then utilizing influencers or brand ambassadors as well. And I think brands that are doing that kind of integrated approach to marketing are the ones that are seeing the most success. And I think that's part of the reason that we've had success with LA Weekly and our other businesses, because we provide soup to nuts in terms of all of those services for clients. And so, you know, we have internal expertise on search engine optimization and search engine marketing. And people are like, why wouldn't I pay a publicist to go pitch a news story that will live on LA Weekly? Why would I go and have you guys create content and post on your site and I have to pay for it as sponsored content? And the reason for that is, because when Google and the other search engines are kind of looking and using their algorithm to decide what goes in the top and most searched results of things, they look for things that have a mix of different types of links, sponsored links and non-sponsored links. And people who have a mastery of that particular game are the people who are doing the best, whether that's in the CBD space, whether that's in the skincare space. If you think about when you search for a product or service and you see the same brand coming up on multiple places during your search, that brand has dialed in search engine marketing and search engine optimization. And I think a lot of businesses and a lot of big companies have to recognize that that's not by coincidence. That's not just paying Google for Google Ads. That is a full methodical process that probably took years to build, that not only highlights the business in media articles and sponsored posts, there's influencer engagement, and there's a lot of technical aspects as well. So I think that for businesses to be super successful in their marketing efforts today, they can't put their eggs all in one basket, and they have to use a fully integrated approach that utilizes all of the technological and outreach opportunities available. Because the ones that are just like, we're going to do all influencer marketing, or we're going to do all print advertising, or we're going to do all this, the ROI just isn't going to be there.
Right.
Right. And that's just the name of the game today.
You just melted half of my brain with all that science.
I know. As I was saying, I was like, is this going to be over everyone's head? Because this is stuff I think about every day.
But this, listen, this, but that's why you're on the show. It is stuff you think about and you do it and you live it every day. And, but we need to talk about it. So I want to just tell people, write down content marketing. And when you go to somebody, like if you go to LA Weekly and you're talking to their salesperson, just say, do me a favor. Give me, you know, content marketing 101. People are happy to tell you about it because guess what? It's the lifeboat out of just buying an ad in a magazine or buying a commercial on a radio show. There's more going on out there. It's the science behind marketing today. Am I right?
100%. And I think that's what people miss. I think that like a lot of organizations thought, and a lot of people think, I think in business, that, oh, marketing is fluff. And these days, it's really based on science and data. And you're able to track customers in so many different ways. I mean, this is creepy, but it's effective, right? You can literally put, call it a net or a geofence over, say a Starbucks. Say you own a local coffee shop in New York. And let's say you're trying to get Starbucks' customers. You can literally put a digital net over the Starbucks across the street from where your coffee shop is.
Oh my gosh.
And track every single cell phone device that has gone in and out of that particular Starbucks and service them with ads anywhere they go on the internet for your coffee shop.
Oh my gosh. All right, hold still.
It's
that is so brilliant.
How effective is that, right?
What is brilliant about it is that you can do it. I mean, this is why I'm talking about the science behind marketing these days. It isn't what it used to be. You have so many more options in the fast lane. Oh, life in the fast lane, right? All right, take a little break. You're going to be on the whole hour. That's all there is to it because I get in my brain a chance to repair while we're in the commercial break. I'm talking to Brian Gaia. He's going to be right back with us. Stay here.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
God, I love Stevie Ray Vaughan. This is Testify. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. And man, I got to tell you what, this stuff is so important. And so many people for so long have been so busy that they didn't realize that, man, life was passing them by. And they stick their head up one day because 2020 happened, even though we get a mulligan on it. And all of a sudden, they're like, all right, I got to market my company a little bit better. Let's buy some newspaper ads. Let's run some radio commercials. Let's put a full-page ad in a magazine. And What else should we do? I don't know if you heard what he talked about right there. Oh, my gosh. Mind-blowing. I just think that the digital landscape is so rich for the ability to pull ahead in business if you know how to do it, if you hear that these opportunities are available to you. And so Brian Gaia doing a great job. No wonder you're a professor at the Chapman University School of Communication, because you know your stuff here. You know what? It's funny. Listen, I'm fortunate. I don't have to market anymore. I am the collective soul of all the entrepreneurs that are maybe my age or any age that just haven't been paying attention as this digital landscape has really, I mean, it's like high tide right now. And, you know, it's like, wow, there's a lot available. And, you know, I really, really appreciate it. I would love for you just to keep, you know, keep teaching, professor, because entrepreneurs are listening, right? What else can you throw on the table?
I tell my students every semester, and I'm really blessed, and I love Chapman, and I love my students at Chapman more than anything else. I've been doing that for like 7 years, and everyone's like, you're so busy, and you have had these positions. Why do you do it? And I was like, I just get so much. I learn more about where the trends are headed, what the interests are. So I get a lot out of it as well. But I also kind of just, you know, I'm a no BS type of person. So like, I just give it to the students straight. Like, this is what you should expect when you leave school. And my class should just be called Me and My Famous Friends, because I bring in people who are famous and doing big things in industry to be interviewed in front of the class, frankly. And we go through the steps of kind of mass communication, but through the lens of these pretty amazing guest speakers. And for me, that's like so rewarding, because it's so funny because your mind is blown on some of the stuff that I'm telling you, which I've developed over the last few years an expertise in, whether it's, you know, search engine marketing or some of the, you know, device ID and other stuff I talked about earlier.
Right.
But the students, they're already seeing things that are like way ahead of what we're even talking about. And they're totally comfortable with it. Cause, you know, in one sense, my generation, we're digital natives, but we're not native to the type of technology that's coming up and that they're familiar with. And right. So if you think what I'm explaining is big, you know, give it a couple of years.
Well, like AI marketing, right? I mean, think about exactly. That. That's what's it's, and it's scary to me. It's I know that it'll be way over my head, and it's already out there, artificial intelligence marketing. I mean, it's mind-boggling what can be done these days. And I see it. A little while ago, I was doing something, and I had looked at something else, and this something else was following me everywhere I went. And I thought to myself, okay, all right, I'm going to buy it. You know?
Well, the interesting part is people are so afraid of artificial intelligence for a variety of reasons, whether it's The Matrix or dozens of other movies who've kind of highlighted how it could go bad. But the funny part is most Americans today, most people throughout the world today are already engaging with some form of artificial intelligence. I mean, Siri is a form of artificial intelligence.
Right.
Alexa is a form of artificial intelligence. Some Google algorithms are a form of artificial intelligence because they're learning from our actions and activities to give us information tailored to our actions and activities, right?
Right.
So that in and of itself is a form of artificial intelligence. The scarier part and the part that needs to be regulated is what they can do with that information. And you're starting to see that. You've seen it aggressively in Europe, and you're starting to see it more in the US, and California has been a leader on it. But what can be done with data and how data is being used, I think, is going to be the most crucial thing, because right now, a lot of companies are, like I said earlier, using data for marketing efforts, and it's super effective. I mean, one of the most effective trends in marketing today is probably retargeting, meaning someone who's gone to your website, started the purchase process, but then left for some reason.
Right.
So you can track them and serve them ads everywhere. Do you want to finish your cart? Do you want to finish your cart? Every other website they go. Right. And so that's a form of data use, right?
All right, hold tight, hold tight. This is getting good, and we got a commercial going to run us over. Brian Kaye doing a great job. He is the professor, and he's going to give us some more advice in our last segment of the hour. A whole hour today, Brian. Good job. Entrepreneur Weekly, be right back. Need a mentor? One-on-one online sessions with Entrepreneur Magazine's experts can help you start a business, grow your business, build your brand, fundraise, and more. Book your one-on-one session with experienced business owners and media experts. Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, can help you perfect your business pitch to media. Businesswoman Kathleen Griffith, founder of Grace & Company, can help improve your growth and marketing strategies. Need guidance on improving your leadership skills? Elizabeth Gore, president of Alice, can help you become a strong, value-driven leader. So what are you waiting for? Book your one-on-one session with Entrepreneur's lineup of experts today. Visit entrepreneur.com/mentors. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/mentors.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Brian Kaye says to me, I hope this is interesting to your audience. I said, are you kidding me? Entrepreneurs we're influencers. And I think even the average person that has the workaday job, which is dang important, dreams of being an entrepreneur someday. And so to hear how entrepreneurs think and how we feed and what we talk about at the watering hole, I do hope that it is interesting, because we started out the show talking about regaining public trust in the media amid a fake news era. And so we're talking about all those things, but also how entrepreneurs can and must grow with what's going on in the world. Our world keeps evolving. So where Brian is the CEO and publisher of LA Weekly, The Village Voice, Irvine Weekly, and the Bay Area Marina Times, and he's a professor at the Chapman University School of Communication. This is the opportunity I think that the average person looks for, is to be able to sit in on a class when, you know, right now, nothing is normal. There is no, is there a normal? Can I ask that? Is there a normal? I mean, that's why,
well,
here's the thing, but that's why you like these brands. And I agree with you, like Entrepreneur's been around, you know, 40, 50 years, whatever it is. LA Weekly. These are brands people trust. Village Voice, Irvine Weekly. These are brands that people, they put weight in, and they hope that you guys are doing, and we are doing our jobs as excellent A-class journalists. But journalists also have to work our way through some of these things sometimes. And that's what we do on this show. And you're teaching me right now, Brian. You know, I'm learning from you as I'm listening to all these things you're talking about, content marketing and all this stuff. It's brilliant, and thank you for doing it. So before I suck all the segment up here, you got 3 minutes now to give us some final thoughts on, you know, what's normal in this world today and when it comes to media.
I mean, I think that the headline is it's forever changing, and it's going to continue to change. Technology is going to change it. Yeah. Trends in society are going to change it. Economics are going to change it. Big tech is certainly going to change it. For better or worse, we'll see. But I think that the beauty of today's marketplace for someone who's in business and an entrepreneur is that it's never been easier to get the word out. And that someone with 100 followers is influential. I think the next big trend that we'll see in marketing, and you're already starting to see us, but I think it's just the surface is just being scratched, is kind of the leveraging of micro influencers. So a micro influencer is literally anyone. If you have 100 followers, if you have 50 followers, if you have 1,000 followers, you know, if you have your neighborhood following you, leveraging the current social networks of people online to get information out about products that would be of interest to them. And so I would say that pay close attention, and we're doing a lot of this in the software space, but also for some of our clients, is micro influencer marketing, which is utilizing people who aren't celebrities and aren't famous. They're just people who are in various communities, really anyone, to leverage the trust they have with their own followers, friends and families, to introduce them to a product or service they might be interested in. So I think that, you know, more to come.
You know what? Period. Because that right there is already, for me, I was thinking to myself, if I can get one really good gold nugget out of this conversation that I can walk away with. And I want to just give you an example of me experiencing what you're talking about with these micro influencers as we wrap up the hour. There's a little Hawaiian food place right in this plaza that I'm in, and they have 1,000 followers on social media. And whenever they have a special, they put it out there. And let me tell you that all their customers, all their people that are, like you said, they're micro influencers, they come running and they sell out every time. They sell out immediately. And it's almost like Pavlovian conditioning. You know, they ring the bell and everybody starts frothing at the mouth. Oh, my God, they got teriyaki chicken today with whatever, you know, and it's like, it is beautiful. They have this little interesting, you know, microcosm of their own world. And guess what? It works. It's the difference between making it and not making it in the world of COVID today, if you know what I'm saying. You got to have these little things. I love it, man. Brilliant.
And imagine how many of those 1,000 people have shared that to their friends that same day.
Oh, totally.
And the multiplier effect that you get from that.
Totally. Brian Calle, spelled Calle.com. Brilliant, man. Please come back again.
Anytime. Okay. Thanks for having me.
You rock, man. All right. Well, I think, you know, I have obviously learned something. I hope you guys did too. Micro influencers. I think it's great. See you next week. Same time, same channel, right here for Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.